This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Zimbabwe is just months away from important nationwide elections. On Monday, the police force announced several changes aimed at ensuring the polls are free of violence.
That's Sebastian Mofu reporting from Harare. We'll have full details coming up. Also, one of Zimbabwe's music greats is back home after being in exile for the past 14 years. A group of far-right protesters blocks a mountain pass on the border between Italy and France. And the only surviving suspect of the 2015 terrorist attacks in Paris was sentenced to 20 years in jail today in Brussels. We'll have these stories and more. Stay with us. There's lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, Zimbabwe is just months away from important nationwide elections today. The police force announced several changes aimed at ensuring the polls are free of violence. Sebastian Mofu reports from Harare.
Erasmus Makodza is heading the new election command within Zimbabwe's police force.
We are saying no to political violence. We want free, credible, transparent elections. And that is what every Zimbabwean is wishing for. That is what everyone in the region is wishing for. International observers also are wishing us the same thing. So we are going to put into practice what I have just been talking about. We are just going to make sure that there is no violence.
He told journalists in Harare that his new unit aims to prevent violence by monitoring political gatherings and swiftly moving in if they receive a complaint or a tip. He said perpetrators of politically motivated violence risk spending up to 10 years in jail if convicted. Zimbabwe's past elections have been marred by violence, with the opposition accusing the police of bias towards the long-time ruling ZANU-PF party. Asked about that Monday, the police spokesperson Cherry Charamba said those days are gone.
Something was not being done in the way that you expect police officers to do their work. This time around, the leadership has made it very clear. In this new trajectory, police officers have been given guidance, and there's a vision to deal with all cases. And when I say all cases, that is irrespective of your political party.
Zimbabwe will go to the polls in July or August. The elections are seen as a key test of the country's transition and future stability. President Emmerson Mnangagwa took over last November after military pressure forced Robert Mugabe to resign after 37 years in power. One of the first things Mnangagwa did upon taking over was to send the police chief Augustine Chihuri into retirement. The Mugabe ally had long been accused of not taking action when the opposition complained of violence orchestrated by ZANU-PF officials. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Thank you, Sebastian. In more news from Zimbabwe, Thomas Mapfumo is regarded as one of Zimbabwe's music greats. He is the father of Chimurenga music, which is intertwined with the country's liberation struggle of 1966 to 1979. He has been in exile for the past 14 years, where he has been very critical of Zimbabwe's former president, Robert Mugabe. But now he is back home and will perform to a packed hall in the capital on Saturday, reporter Kudzai Aziz Vinavashi reports.
It was loud cheers and a carnival atmosphere last week as fans celebrated the return of Mapfumo at the Robert Mugabe International Airport. Speaking at the press conference recently, Mapfumo said he was grateful for the warm reception. He says, "We thank you for the way you have received us. You see, we spent years staying in other people's nations. 14 years is not a joke. We thank God and the ancestors for watching over us while we were there. We didn't think we would return and see each other again." Plot Marco is a music critic and promoter. He says having Mapfumo, popularly known as Mukanya, back is a sign of the new path the country is taking.
The return of the living legend Thomas Mapfumo in Zimbabwe after 14 years is quite significant and historic. Not only the arts sector, but Zimbabwe as a whole. It sort of signifies the positive trajectory that Zimbabwe is getting on, a new dispensation where freedom of expression and opinion is tolerated and respected. This is quite great development.
Mapfumo says he would not have come if Mugabe, whom he refers to as the old man, was still in power.
It seems there's a little change. If it was still the old system, I wouldn't be here. I wasn't going to be here if the old man was still in power. But I'm glad there's a little change. We need a real change in this country. The real change is with you guys. You are still very young, and the change is with you. You have to change the situation in this country.
On this coming Saturday, he will have a chance to repeat that message at his sold-out concert. Many in the audience will be the third generation of Mapfumo's fans. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashe from Harare.
Jailed Egyptian photographer Mahmoud Abu Zayed has received the United Nations World Press Freedom Award. The UN cultural body UNESCO announced the award today. Abu Zayed, also known as Shah Khan, was arrested in 2013 for his coverage of a protest against the military ouster of former President Mohamed Morsi. Abu Zayed has been jailed ever since. The head of the panel that selected him said the award pays tribute to his courage and commitment to freedom of expression. The Egyptian Foreign Ministry yesterday warned UNESCO against giving the award. It said that Abu Zayed is accused of terrorism and criminal acts. Egyptian police arrested hundreds of Morsi supporters who protested in August 2013 against his removal from office. The protest turned deadly as demonstrators and police clashed. Several journalists and other observers also were arrested. A group of far-right protesters blocked a mountain pass on the border between Italy and France over the past few days, saying it was being used by illegal migrants entering France. In return, pro-migrant groups held counter-protests. The French government has responded by increasing security forces in the area. The issue of people migrating from impoverished or war-torn areas into Europe has become a political flashpoint. Reporter Josephine McKenna in Rome spoke with VOA's Kate Pound Dawson about the developments.
Well, this is right on the border between Italy and France in the Alps, and this brought together far-right groups and pro-migrant groups. Who gathered at this mountain pass where many migrants have been traveling from Italy into France. So on Saturday and Sunday, we saw these activists from a small far-right organization block the mountain pass about 4 miles or 6 kilometers from the Italian border. They say that that's a strategic point for illegal migrants. And on Sunday, we saw minor scuffles when a procession of pro-migrant groups crossed the border, accompanying around 30 migrants. So it's a pretty tense situation on that border area between the two countries.
Now, what are the positions of the two governments? What are they doing both to deal with the migrants crossing and to deal with the protests?
Well, this is much more of an issue, of course, for the French government. And the French Interior Minister, Gérard Collomb, has said that the actions by these protesters are unacceptable. He's sending police reinforcements to the border area. And he says that the security forces will be enforcing respect for control of the border. On top of that, the French government has introduced a new law trying to speed up the process for political asylum and also repatriate migrants that they say don't deserve to stay in France. and that's very controversial. The Italians, on the other hand, have focused more attention on Libya, trying to stop the flow of migrants across the Mediterranean. And as we know, the Italians have been critical in providing support for the Libyan Coast Guard, and we've seen the numbers of migrants drop considerably, even though we saw around 500 rescues just in the last few days.
Now, roughly how many people, how many migrants try to cross this border every year?
The numbers are difficult to identify. And what's interesting here is that thousands have been using these very remote paths, crossing through the Alps, often not just wanting to stay in France either, looking to make their way through France to get to places like the UK, the Netherlands, Germany, perhaps to be reunited with other family members. So there has been a flow, but certainly the French are very concerned about this. And of course, with the concern about terrorism, it's becoming an even greater concern in terms of security.
That was reporter Josephine McKenna in Rome speaking with my colleague, Kate Pound Dawson. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580, and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. At 16 minutes past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. One of Zimbabwe's music greats is back home after being in exile for the past 14 years, and a group of far-right protesters blocks a mountain pass on the border between Italy and France. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Well, the only surviving suspect of the 2015 terrorist attacks in Paris was sentenced to 20 years in jail today in Brussels for a separate shootout with Belgian police. Lisa Bryant has more from the Belgian capital.
Authorities have identified the suspect as 25-year-old French-Moroccan Redouane Lakhdim, a small-time drug dealer who was reportedly under surveillance for potentially being a religious radical, although he was not considered a security threat. Interior Minister Gérard Colombe said Lakhdim first shot dead a driver while stealing a car in the southern town of Carcassonne, then opened fire on police out jogging Friday morning, wounding one of them. His next target was a supermarket in the nearby town of Trèbes. Reports say Lakhdim shouted Allah Akbar, fired into the air, and took hostages. Colombe described to reporters what happened next.
Le lieutenant-colonel de gendarmerie.
He said a police officer volunteered to swap places with a hostage Lakhdim was holding as protection. The policeman kept his mobile phone open so police outside could hear what was taking place. When they heard firing inside, they stormed the store. Altogether, four people were killed in the incident, including the suspect. More than a dozen were wounded, including the officer who volunteered as hostage and who Colombe saluted for his courage. Media reports say the assailant demanded the release of Salah Abdeslam, considered the top surviving participant in the November 2015 attacks in Paris that killed 130 people. Abdeslam is currently in a high-security prison outside the capital. One Trèbes resident told France Info Radio that everyone in the small town is shocked and terrified. He used to work at the supermarket where the attacks took place. The events in southern France are eerily similar to the attack on a kosher supermarket in Paris in 2015, one of a string of terrorist attacks that year that left scores of people dead. A year later, France was struck by another major attack in the Riviera city of Nice that killed 86 people and left hundreds of others injured. No major attack has occurred since then, although authorities say they have foiled a number of planned strikes. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Yesterday, the world marked Earth Day, a day set aside to celebrate our planet and to raise awareness about what we can do to protect it. Environmental protection is a growing issue in Africa as population growth and economic development spread into vulnerable ecosystems. To find out more about Earth Day and its particular relevance to Africa, VOA's Adam Phillips spoke with Kathleen Rogers, the president of Earth Day Network. It's a consortium of over 50,000 environmental activists and organizations in 192 countries around the world.
At this point, about 1 billion people participate in Earth Day. And by Earth Day, I mean Earth Day, Earth Week, Earth Season. Every year, Earth Day grows and grows. It's the entry point into environmentalism and into the environmental community. And our focus is particularly on the developing world and bringing them both the opportunity to engage in civic life, but also to get something done.
And what needs to be done in Africa, in your view?
Africa faces the same challenges that the rest of us do because climate and other environmental issues, of course, impact the whole globe. So in addition to that, Africa has development issues. And so they are working hand in hand with many in the environmental community in order to develop the right way, but also address the threats that are present from climate change and water issues. As a result of that, we focus a lot of our attention on bringing along the least developed partners because we think they deserve to share in the benefits of both industrial development but clean industrial development. So Africa is of critical importance to Earth Day Network.
On the face of it, Earth Day might seem like a better bet in America where we have so many resources. We actually waste a lot of our resources. In Africa, though, it's a different case. It's pretty easy to understand why African farmers might wish to clear land to grow more food when they don't have a lot of food, even though that'll cause more carbon emissions. Conservation and protecting animals is great, but if you rely on those animals for meat, it's not quite as clear-cut about what a particular person or family should do.
We all live very different lives, every human being. We eat differently. We think differently. We use resources differently. But in the end, we share this earth, at least for now. We're the only ones out there. And so it really requires us to sit down at the table and figure out how, both from an equity point of view and a fairness point of view, that we use the earth's remaining resources. And at the same time, really employ technology, educate our kids, make them fully aware of the opportunities. Certainly this would be true for Africa as well as the United States.
You mentioned clean energy before. Why is that a good strategy for the continent on Earth Day?
Whoever figures out how to create really, truly green energy and distribute it worldwide will own the world. And in my view, Africa should own its own means of production. They should be manufacturing solar panels. They should be engaged in creating and seeking investment for wind farms. They should be engaged in owning means of production in terms of growing their food. And they need the best technology. There's so much money and energy. I want Africa to own its own energy production so that it can drive the lives and improve the lives of its own people. But the problems are now growing so intensely and are enveloping the entire world that it's incumbent on all of us to create a vision for everybody. Whether it's my life or someone living in Africa, it requires changes in personal behavior, cultural changes, and all sorts of other things that we're uncomfortable with. Humans love the status quo, regardless of where you live. But we all have to face the realities of our own life, our community life, but at the same time, care about global issues because eventually they're all going to come back to haunt us, regardless of where we live. So our goal is to engage everyone in Earth Day and give them an opportunity to play a real role.
That was Kathleen Rogers, president of Earth Day Network, which works with nearly 50,000 partners in 192 countries to raise environmental awareness and promote green activism. She spoke with VOA's Adam Phillips this week from her Washington office. One of the challenges that migrants face is the best way to send money back home to help their families. The World Bank estimates that officially recorded remittances to low- and middle-income countries reached $466 billion last year, up 8.5% over 2016. They are expected to increase by about 4%. This year, the most expensive place to send money is sub-Saharan Africa. The trend now is shifting toward using cell phones as mobile wallets, which is cheaper than traditional money transfers. The system is growing fast, particularly in Africa. VOA's Vincent McCurry talks to Catherine Wines, the founder of World Remit, about how mobile money works.
But the benefit of mobile money is about financial inclusion, because there's probably 2 billion of people in the world who don't have a bank account, but at least more than 1 billion have got a mobile. And that's where the mobile operator have seen the benefit of that.
Now, about half of world remit transactions actually to Africa.
Yes.
When people think about Africa, a majority try to, in a way, think there are some technological challenges there, and also things like internet connectivity, power, access to mobile phones. What's your experience?
Obviously, Africa, you know, we talk about continent, but there's a lot of countries, you know, whereas if you look at the Far East, where maybe you send into India, where there's a lot of population, or Philippines, so it's quite different. So first you've got, a continent with a lot of countries, obviously different kind of way of doing things. But as I said, in terms of mobile money, the mobile operator have seen the opportunity, and it's much easier, in fact, to set up a network of for mobile than landlines. And in fact, landlines still do not operate very well in Africa, whereas mobile works very well. I've traveled a lot in Africa, and I can use my mobile more or less everywhere. Yes, maybe in some very remote areas it's still difficult, but even that, it has improved. But the thing with mobile money, you don't need internet, you don't need 3G or Wi-Fi, you just need a really basic mobile phone. And that's what's been really, I call it a revolution when it comes to mobile money. Mm-hmm.
What would you say some of the areas where perhaps these mobile accounts haven't been put into proper use, or at least people haven't taken advantage of this, that they could do so?
Well, I think, like anything, it takes time. And it's not just that people have not wanted to use it, because, in fact, in Africa, the level of take-up, now there's more than 690 million mobile money accounts, which is 25% up compared to 2016. So, they're the take-up, and a lot of them are in Africa. The take-up is high. But what you need in order to really make a good use of the mobile money is that you've got to have an ecosystem. So initially, when you start with a mobile money, you probably can receive money and then cash out, which was the experience in Kenya with M-Pesa. But once you start building the ecosystem, then people are going to use it for a lot of things. So, for example, in Kenya, which is now 10 years old, M-Pesa is 10 years old, they've got a really developed ecosystem where people can, pay bills, pay utility bills, pay school fees, and so on, go to a market and pay someone. But also then they're becoming, they've got now a credit history, and therefore they can start getting microloans, microinsurance, and other products are being developed around the mobile money account.
That was Catherine Wines, founder of World Remit, talking with VOA's Vincent McCorry. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
I'm Linor Mudu, host of Health Chat. April 23rd to 29th is African Vaccination Week. The theme, Vaccines Work, Do Your Part. Next week on Health Chat, we will have the latest updates in immunization and look at what is being done on the African continent. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOAAfrica.com.
On VOAAfrica.com, the news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
VOAAfrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.
Stand up!